Are you searching for a deeper understanding of yourself and your place in the world? Do you yearn for more balance, more peace, and purpose in your life? Well, look no further than the Intuitive Revolution Podcast, your trusted source for holistic insights and intuitive guidance. I'm your host, Alicia Ferricelli, and I am ready to take you on a journey to inner peace and balanced well-being. Welcome back to the Intuitive Revolution Podcast. I have the pleasure of introducing you to Sandy Simbler, an embodied results coach. Sandy, recognized as a women's embodiment expert, created the transformative power of the Sacred She method based on her own life's journey. Her innovative approach illuminates the path for women and couples towards a more profound, vibrant, and authentic connection with themselves and others. It provides a brave space for addressing deep-seated roadblocks that have impeded the attainment of fulfilling relationships and lives. Sandy's personal journey of harmonizing masculine and feminine energies intimately informs her teachings, making her both a reliable guide and a beacon of lived authenticity. Well, thank you, Sandy, for joining us today on the Intuitive Revolution Podcast. I'm so excited to learn from you. I'm glad we finally connected.
Yeah.
You mentioned the importance of helping women discover their feminine and masculine essence. Can you elaborate on what these essences entail and why it's crucial for individuals to align with their core leading energy?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's good to see you too. It was fun just doing like a little pre-conversation before we got started. So yeah, you know, first off, it already lives in us, right? Alpha, omega, yin and yang, feminine, masculine. And I didn't even know what this really meant until I had that intervention with Tony Robbins in 2014. And I'll tell you a little bit of that story first, simply because it gives it some context, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I was really successful in all endeavors with business. I've been a serial entrepreneur really since I was 12, since my dad left, and I helped my mom, you know, make car payments with paper routes and stuff like that. So serial entrepreneur for sure. And so I was super successful in business, not so lucky in love. And even though I had left an abusive husband, you know, years prior to meeting this gentleman that I was with when I met Tony again, is I had gone the traditional route of leaving, went to CASA, which is here a local space that we know here in St. Pete, and then with my 10-year-old son at the time. And you know, really understood that abuse happens in all socioeconomic places, because no one would have looked at us and gone, oh, that's what's going on. And I didn't grow up in an abusive home, a physically abusive home at all. But now I'm understanding more about complex trauma and such too, which is what I bring into the work. Anyway, I actually did the traditional route with therapy 3 times a week. I didn't date for 2 years. I started another business. I celebrated my 40th birthday then. And it was like, I felt so good. And then as soon as I started dating again, girl, it was like literally like a moth to a flame. And I ran smack dab into same song, different record, a very similar energy that didn't even understand it. And, you know, the more that I've studied trauma and such, I realized that, you know, this particular therapist, who's a very well-known therapist in town, I mean, like everybody knows this, she never talked to me about trauma. She didn't talk to me about attachment style. She didn't talk to me about feminine masculine energy. She didn't talk. I mean, we just talked and talked. I bring her coffee and we talked. And we talked some more. And and the brain does that circle 8 thing where it feels like it gets a little dopamine push, but feels like it's doing something. So I never had any clue that I wasn't solving problems. You know, I just, time heals all wounds, but that's not true, because the body keeps score, right? So back to the feminine masculine space, and she sure as heck didn't talk to me about any of that. That's for sure. that's for sure. But my best friend, who Sacred She, you know, my heart, is, you know, Sacred She is my business of my coaching business, where I work with women around the world, work with men as well, with a couple of them, but really women. Because what happened is, my best friend, Rachel, who passed away during COVID, she was that friend who wouldn't let me get away with my own BS. And she's from Australia. I can't do her accent, but she was this, oh my gosh, Sandy, that's just not who you are. It's not who you are, Sandy. It's not who you are. And she goes, there's patterns there. Like you're literally like pattern upon pattern. I'm like, what are you talking about? Right. So she's like, you need to get in front of Tony, and you need someone who's going to kick your butt, because all these other namby-pamby, you know, therapist or whatever, nothing against therapy, but no one was challenging me. And I was super masculine then, where, I mean, I wasn't bitchy. I was just driven. And if there was a problem, I was going to go push it and solve it and figure it out. I always joke, and you'll appreciate this, is I would manifest versus manifest. Like I wasn't just allowing things to flow. So anyway, I raised my hand for one of the questions. Then 4.5 hours later, I'm like really just feeling myself castrated. My partner and I, you know, ended up honestly splitting up that evening when we were in Fiji for the event, and it was for the best. And I'm grateful because that relationship led me, you know, to where I am now. So I can polish the turd, so to speak, as my grandmother would like to say, you know, and make it good. You're from the South. You get my colloquialism.
I get it.
Yeah, I'm from South Carolina. But what happened to me though is understanding that the masculine is the drive. The masculine is essentially, if you want to use the metaphor, the river. The riverbed is the masculine, right? The structure. And the feminine is going to be the ever-flowing change in emotions. If you look at our screens now, you know, we've got two rectangles. You're in your masculine container, I'm in mine. And what you and I decide to do in our little rectangle is the art. And so the feminine is the art. And I was so fascinated with this because I had never heard of this. And I realized I was leading a big team of women, like around 30,000 women around the world. And I was looking at all these incredible women who many of them were successful in their own right, you know, in whatever capacity they viewed success, but not very many of them felt fulfilled because I was coaching them in business. They had it all, you know, in so many ways, but they didn't have the juice. And I realized that this was like an epidemic. And I'm like, I've got to dive into this more. And this was actually, so this was over 11 years ago before it became so popular to talk about feminine, masculine embodiment and what have you. And I love to learn. So I actually worked with Tony for a couple of years, traveled around the world with all these teachers. And I realized it was so important because it already lives within us. And just because you and I are women doesn't necessarily mean that our core energy is feminine. And it could be conditioned. And trauma is one of the reasons why a woman will show up in her masculine more, even though it's opposite of her core, because we need the masculine. I wouldn't be here on time if I didn't have my masculine energy in place, right? It gets us to the church in time, right?
Right.
But I would tell you, I was very disassociated from my body. I was not embodied at all. Everything that I learned just kind of stayed up here in my brain. And and that's, you know, years later, when I still was, you know, not necessarily, I was learning a lot, but I wasn't necessarily embodying it. I couldn't feel it. It's as if our head is like this big IV, and I needed to feel, I needed to let all the juices start flowing everywhere else in my body. So I shifted a little bit of the teaching, tapped into more of, it wasn't just women teachers, actually. I think some of my best feminine embodiment teachers, not from a sensual dance move, but actually were men, because I had not been around men that I could trust. I didn't know what it felt like in my body to be able to count on someone except me. It sounds so grandiose and self-righteous, and it kind of is, but when you grow up really fast like that, what I've learned through my own training, but also healing, you got to feel like you can do it all. You have to be a little like, well, of course I can, because if you weren't cared for, you know, at home, and neglected in some ways, even if it was emotionally, it's the way your brain's going to take care of yourself. So I really have moved from just working with masculine and feminine energies, as I've brought in from my own healing journey. My work is always, you can best believe, if I'm teaching it, I've experienced it, alchemized it, and brought it back to the world. I think that we are living in Earth school. This is Earth school. Our life is our playground. So, I think that it's so important in this feminine leadership, this boss babe era that we're in, that, which I don't love that name, boss babe. However, if we can actually teach women that they actually can lead with their masculine, because that's leadership is the masculine, but tapping into their feminine intuition, that all-knowing, that life giver, then what happens is that we're efforting less. We're actually in flow. We're trusting, you know, we're waiting, we're leaning back, And I believe, you know, I believe the receivership of money, for example, or of abundance, or, you know, even becoming pregnant is actually like being able to receive. I find that some women, after they start doing this work, if they haven't been able to conceive, a lot of times once they heal that mother wound or they heal their relationship with the feminine, then they're actually, their body relaxes somatically. And then they're able to actually receive the initiation of actually making a baby. So it's just fascinating. So I had to go study and teach it and live it. And still learning it. Every day is a new day, especially the more that I'm loving my work. I need to make sure that I have things around me that take me back into the feminine, which is like I'm sitting on my sheepskin. I've got my candle over here. I have things that actually will draw me to my senses, you know, bringing me back to my body, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I love the analogy of feminine's like kind of the art part portion of it. Yeah. It's the creativity portion of it. Totally. And people think you have to be all masculine or you have to be all feminine.
Right.
It's a balancing act. And every day, like I wake up and some days I'm more masculine. I need to put on my masculine hat cap. And some days I need to like put on my feminine cap and be a little more creative and, you know, flow. And it's just that it's a balancing act. And I love that you're teaching women and men how to do that.
Yeah, it's huge. And I actually like to say that we harmonize it, because the truth is that it's not even that you put it on. It literally lives within us.
Right.
You know, it's within us. And otherwise it's like disembodied. Cause I used to think like that too. It's like, it's over here, something you go and like grab, like my glasses, you know what I mean? But it's like, once you get so nuanced, because I'm watching you, and we've been talking now for 20 minutes or so. I've watched you as you were sharing your story about that experience we talked about. Yeah, you were like super energized, super feminine, so excited. And then as soon as we hit, you're like, you ready to go? Are you ready to start the podcast? Yeah. And then you went into, so it like, and it was a flow, right? You didn't even have to think about it. It just is. And so, you know, for me and how the teachings came and how Sacred She really came to be is, you know, I would go to all these events because I love events and I love to learn. And, you know, if we're not growing, we're dying. And I love to host these things too. But I realized that I would come home and then life happens. And right, a deadline, or it's Christmas and I'm cooking for 20 people or whatever. And, you know, and then I'm in, you know, mothering in itself is actually quite masculine. Mothering is masculine, but mother, being a mother and nurturing is not. So there's these little nuances. I'm like, how can I bring this work to the everyday woman? Not necessarily a woman who even knows crystals, cares about sage, all of the things that we consider herself a goddess. Now, I love those women too, because I am one of those, you know what I mean? But I mean, women actually, like, how can we bring it into our everyday life and where we can literally be in a boardroom and we can still feel into what would love do right now? And because love also is the feminine, I believe we're an oracle. We are here as we're connected to source. We're an oracle for what needs to be done. And so in partnership, for example, the feminine is, she's able to feel something that actually will bring more love to the moment. And when I say love, I don't mean like squishy love necessarily, but more of like, if her partner is out of integrity, you know, or he's kind of slouched over and she's not feeling safe. There's a way that I teach women to be able to share that they're noticing something in him without it being scolding or mothering. There's an art form. So I teach women how to make art out of their emotions, even jealousy. Now, what I mentioned about Rachel a few minutes ago, my best friend, you know, she actually was the oracle for me. Like, her feminine was able to feel in to go, Sandy, you know, I see something, your blind spot, you don't see it. It was the masculine that allowed her to actually use her voice, this part, right, to say it. Because how many times, I mean, you and I are very highly feminine beings, I can feel you deeply. And how many times have we kept our pie hole shut because we didn't want to be disliked, we didn't want to rock the boat, right? And then we feel it, we feel it right here, right? Like we talked about before we hit go. And this is what I mean by the harmonization, because it was her feminine intuition that says, not another minute more. I'm not going to let my friend go another minute, not living her purpose and living in the story. Most women because we want to be liked. It's primal. We want to fit in. We want to sit at everybody's, we want to sit at their lunch table, right? Yeah. It's primal. Women want to be in tribes, communal, because we're the gatherers. If we're in that primary space, if the, of the feminine, right? The hunter is going to be more the masculine, but of course now these days we can do both. But she then, her voice, I'll stress that again, her using her voice and having the bravery, the courage and the noble character to say, hey, Sandy, no more. I need to bring this to you. And she was willing to risk our friendship to say the hard thing.
And I bet it brought you closer.
Oh God. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I only have, we call that stage three relationship where, and I'll just kind of mention this briefly, and maybe I'll give you that link for the show notes. There's three stages of relating we teach. And the first is what we call baby love. And this is not just like love between you and your partner, or even our children. It's even the way we show up for our friends or our clients, or even if we want to bring in a client, or take on a new client, or even, you know, when I was looking at wanting to be on some podcasts and, you know, I put it through a filter, is the world better if I actually meet with you and I get the privilege of meeting with you and being on your podcast. When I tap in, sometimes the answer is no.
Right.
But the old version of me, and sometimes the current version, depending on if I'm resourced, will actually override the inner knowing. So I think that there's beauty in tapping into our infinite wisdom. There's beauty in tapping into our wildness. There's beauty of allowing ourselves to be messy again. I'll kind of just park it there for a minute and see if you have any questions about that.
So many women actually struggle to find balance between their professional and personal lives. Talking about what you just mentioned, what kind of advice do you have for women looking to align these aspects with their lives while staying true to their authentic self?
Yeah. Well, that's a great question. And like I mentioned a few minutes ago, it really is more about, first off, change starts with awareness. We have to even know that there's an issue, that we're imbalanced to even want to make a change, right? And sometimes it does take a breakup or a death or a bankruptcy or COVID, something major. And my thing is that does it really, I want to live my life now where I'm not having to call in, you know, karmic drama and trauma to learn my lessons, that I can actually every day, like I said, the earth school. And what am I going to learn today? You know, God, what do you got for me today? Kind of a thing. Yeah. So that's a nuanced question in the sense of, I think it starts with just being aware that it's okay that we can't have it all and do it all so well and be okay with that. Number one, perfectionism is what I've learned is actually the worst trait to try to live with, because nobody's perfect and it keeps us actually in bondage and not being able to live fully, right? There's no femininity in being perfect, that's for sure. And it's toxic masculine to want to be perfect, right? That we aren't even able to attune to the areas around us. And I'll give this example here and it'll fold into your question, but I was sharing yesterday with a client. It was her daughter that I started working with, and she's 19 and, you know, very stressed out about some things at school. And she had committed to, a particular event, but she's realizing that it's too much for her, that she committed. She said, but I need to honor my word. I need to honor my word. I'm a woman of integrity. I need to honor my word, which I totally appreciate. Now, the masculine is our integrity. The masculine is our noble character. And I said, you know, honey, there's a difference between keeping our word and honoring our word. Mm. How many of us have stayed in a relationship longer than we needed to because we said, I'm never going to get a divorce, you know, or something like that. Or, you know, you have a client and you just are not loving it, or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
And then we kept our vows. But did we honor our vows? Are we being our vows, or are we just doing our vows? Because if we're being the commitment and we're being in the moment of how did she want to feel while she was, you know, in this event, how did she want to feel while she was practicing for this event? How does she want to feel when she's finished with the event? And so I taught her that with she's an actress, every single opportunity she had, every go-see, you know, every audition, that she needed to treat it like it was almost a lover.
Ooh, yeah.
How are you feeling when you actually are in front of this, you know, this human? And because it's a thing, I mean, like our home is a living, breathing object. A production, a movie, is a living, breathing thing too. And I mean, I know I have gotten in relationships where I actually knew it wasn't the right thing. But then I ended up in the relationship. Right. And so, yeah, I think that for women to first off to realize that they actually are not fulfilled, that they actually do want to essentially in some ways, and this is not politically correct, but it's true. I haven't met a woman yet. This, and I've worked with thousands of women who, when I ask this question, they may not answer it initially. It may take a little bit of time, like weeks or months, actually, because they may hate me at first for a while. But it's like, how many of you actually really deep down primally would love to be provided, protected, right? She who must be provided and protected, claimed, you know, like claim, like, you know, like, or like, you know, Tarzan. I went, kind of in a way, it's a primal. I mean, I'm not saying we want to be abused, but there is a part of us. It is primal. We can't change our DNA. We just, but with every generation, we're overriding it, which is, you know, where we are today. And it's just going to continue. It's not better or worse, depending on belief system. It just is, right? We have to notice that every generation we're shifting it. But our bodies, when I get women to slow down and feel in their bodies, not just what's happening between their legs, but I mean, just in their body alone, you know, when I start saying it and we start embodying it and feeling it, they get a little tingle. They realize, you know what? I don't want the masculine burden. The masculine is burdensome, you know, and especially if you've ever been a single mom, which I was for years. I mean, it is, there's nothing more burdensome than being a woman who really probably is longing to be home with her child, but has to go do the thing. And that internal struggle is real. And I think more and more men are feeling that, you know, now that they're getting more and more in touch with their feminine energy and there's less testosterone, you know, and just the average everyday boy these days, which we're seeing the benefit, it just is, right?
Right.
I don't know if it's a benefit or not, to be honest with you, but what it is that a lot has to do with our food and, you know, all the things. And you and I think was that like the last question that you and I were reviewing. But again, I mean, I grew up on Cosmopolitan magazine. You know, I'm 52 years old. So I grew up in Cosmo way before the internet, thinking that that would be so cool to have my briefcase and my thing. And I'll be honest with you, there is still, I love what I do. In fact, I would do it for free. And I do it for free often. You know, even I love teaching, even just being here with you today, just it juices me up to share. And there's still a part of me that wants to be provided for, not like a sugar daddy kind of a way, but it's primal. I want to nurture my family. I want to, that doesn't make me any less successful in business, but I had to learn that. I was one of those women that could not even, are you kidding me? I don't need a man. But yet I deeply wanted to be in a partnership.
Yeah, it's like the safety that it brings. Everyone wants to feel safe. And so having another person creates something, such a greater safety net for you. It doesn't matter, have to be financially, it doesn't have to be anything. Yeah. It's more, it's kind of emotionally, I feel like that's what we're striving for. And to bring if something to release us from having to be the man, to be the masculine all the time. We want that release that we can just come into our feminine divine and feel that energy and be authentically who we are and not have to put on, again, the hat, which most people do, of I got to be a man now and I got to be a woman in the bed. Yeah. I got to be a man out here. It's like, that's so not authentic to who you are.
It isn't. And I think I've actually only worked with one woman literally out of thousands where her core was legitimately was masculine, and she's a heterosexual woman. And in their partnership, it works for them. Like it literally works for them. I've never seen it any other area. Generally, that'd be a depolarization. But the thing is that as I go back to the three stages, like I mentioned, let me just say this because it'll tie into this question, I promise. And by the way, I'll just use this as an example. The way I'm answering your question, super feminine. Somebody who's super masculine,
I love it.
Going like, oh my God, can she just answer one question at a time? And she's because it's we call it the meta report. You know, we're walking through the grocery store and we're picking up the produce and looking at it, putting it down, and we're experiencing this. I'm experiencing you experiencing me. And I imagine before I got on with you, I literally imagine like your audience experiencing me. And so, this is not the act, it's who I am. Now, if I was talking to someone at Chase and I was doing like, because I'll speak to large groups of people and depending on, and I may be a little bit more in Zoom red, whether I like to call it. However, I'm still going to bring in my flavor because that's who I am, to your point, the authentic self.
It's your magic.
It's magic. And all of us have that in it, ladies. We have that feminine magic. It's just a matter of, are we willing to actually allow it to come out? It's easier said than done because it can feel traumatic. It can feel like it's a wound when we are judging other women for being, Holly go lightly, because I know I did. My first practice my teacher ever gave me was, he pointed out that I was actually addicted to sadness and that he wanted me to embody more joy. With joy, as we all know, happiness has to be obtained. Joy lives within. So I was skipping all, I had like a 5 minute skipping practice every day, and I had to skip out loud in front of people. So the brain would start to realize I wasn't going to die if I actually felt joy.
That is amazing. That's a
Is
great
there,
exercise.
yeah, I mean, it's so good. So I've got all these crazy, wild practices that, we don't have to, go somewhere and have an experience. Although I love that, like you and I were talking about earlier, I love experiences, but I love to give women practice. I'm looking around in my den right now. Like, I've got my bat practice over here. I've got little things where that I know that I can release somatically, whatever it is I'm feeling, because I don't want it to stay in there, but I want to experience it. Let me go back real quick to the three stages. I mentioned stage one of the relating is baby love. And that is like, what about me stage? It's the, what about me? What about my needs? It's about me. It's about me. It's about me. And, it's baby stage because as babies, that's, we needed that, right? We needed somebody to feed us, literally. The stage two is the world will be a much better place if we allowed ourselves to live in stage two. It's like, when you did this, it made me feel like this. And what I would need for you to love me better would be this. And then they would say, okay, I feel you. I feel, it would be a conversation like that where I meet your needs, you meet my needs. A mano feels really healthy, and it is healthy. But in an intimate partnership, there's not a lot of polarity and like grind there, which is why women, by the way, will pick fights, or the more feminine being, because I see this in same-sex couples too. We will pick fights because we want energy.
Ooh.
I know, it's really cool. I mean, it's good when you start watching, go, well, why am I picking this fight? And that's why we teach our men to look beyond the complaint. Now, I say that to you too, being a very beautifully feminine woman who actually is out there in the world. So if someone's complaining, an employee, somebody you're podcasting or whatever, it's like, what's underneath their complaint? Because it's never about the thing. It's about something else. And so men just hear generally, just they hear the criticism. And, remind me to make sure I talk about the three C's and the three U's. Sorry, yeah, remind that. But stage two is like, it's beautiful. We need that. And I can tell you that even with people that work for me, like I recently hired someone who's known me for 12 years, who's been in my program for 2 years. And finally, I just had this aha moment. Like, I needed to hire Kelsey because she gets me. She's seen me. She knew me before the intervention with Tony. Like, she's known me. She was on my the team of the jewelry I was repping years ago. And she's able to stimulate me because she asks me questions that get me in my body. And, I know for my husband, I'm a generative human design. He's a projector. He has a hard time because he's also a super masculine being to be able to ask me questions like that. So I can tell you, there's a feeling of boredom sometimes if I'm not getting jazz from the energy around me. And if I wasn't healthy, that's when I might overeat, or I'd have an affair, or I'd work too much because I'm looking for energy, right? Same thing with men. The third stage, though, is where I love to live, and it's where, and this is where, how Rachel loved me. We want what's best for them. Like, we want to be able to see them through God's eyeballs, essentially. Like, see them. And if they aren't you know, showing up in that way that we're able to be brave enough, we love them enough, like Rachel did, to share it. And we want to bring people closer to home, you know, whether that is, you know, the universe, God, whatever that is truly a higher being. And for us to show up as our truest self. That does not necessarily mean you need to have a successful podcast, make a gazillion dollars, have 25 children, and be a stay-at-home mom. It's whatever is true for you, aligned with your higher self, right? And so, you know, when you put everything through those three stages of relating, everything goes through it. It doesn't just have to be your partner, right? And so back to your question about, see, I always go back to, I remember.
You're good.
is about, you know, what are some tips? It really is first off being aware and then us fine tuning the body. I teach you like where your yeses and your nos are, giving you practices to prime the pump, because, you know, I don't even know why this is here, but it's perfect. Our bodies are like a tuning fork, right? I mean, we're going to be whatever frequency that we're giving off, it's going to affect everyone around us, especially these highly feminine beings that we are. But if you also believe that we're a satellite, we're transmitting all the time. So that's why I can look across the room at someone and see her, not just empathically, but I can like see her, and I can see her jaw clenched. I can see the way she's sitting. I can watch her facial expressions. I can, you know, just feel her closure sometimes. And then there's a way though to open up the body again, open up the heart body, where we're not walking around like a Care Bear with our heart on our, you know, on our belly, but right. More of, I just dated myself big time.
I love the Care Bears.
So okay, good. Okay, yeah, high five, sister. So strawberry shortcake, the whole thing.
Yes.
So.
Oh yeah.
Okay. There you go. Okay, good. So there's beauty in knowing that we're strong women who are voluntarily vulnerable. And one of my certifications, I had the privilege of studying 100 men for a year. And every month we had a different thesis. And one of them was, do men really like, you know, and I'm just speaking like hetero right now, but do men really like strong women? And 99 of the 100 said that they loved a strong woman who was voluntarily vulnerable. Because if she knew who she was comfortable with, you know, being able to speak, that she didn't feel like that she needed a man, but she realized that she needed a man. Right? There's a big difference. And so I like to say I'm basically a feminist who digs men. I'm a feminist who actually really likes men and think that we need them on this planet. We need to honor them and respect them. And that blew my mind, because I thought, wow, I mean, now there are, of course, the toxic men who want us to need them so they can manipulate and control us. And then there's some who, you know, I mean, there's actually a website called sugardaddies.com. I'm sure there's a sugarmamas.com. And, you know, I mean, and so that basically takes that one person could have been on that site, for example, if I was judging him, I don't know. But that was interesting. And you mentioned something too about, you know, just the relating of men and women. And I have a course called Sacred Respect that really teaches women how to learn to train their body again, to see the good in men, even little boys, because we're training these little boys, but also the masculine within. Because generally what I find is a woman who, just like me, who has you know, some daddy wounds and what have you, that caused me to be in my masculine so much, that caused me to distrust, caused me not to trust my own inner knowing. We call it husbanding yourself. Like, how are you going to husband yourself? And there's a whole process around that in my program. But when a woman doesn't feel safe, like you mentioned, a woman doesn't feel seen, she doesn't feel understood, right? And she doesn't feel heard. We will do something that is, we call the three C's, and we will complain, criticize, and we will close our energy off. The very antithesis of what men don't want. Like, they want to feel our open energy. They want to feel that we revere them. But remember, women, I mean, and this is really about men and women, the genders. I just have to say that because it is. We're motivated by comparison, women are. right? Even though it's not healthy, like we're comparing ourselves and, you know, because we want to be in community because that's primal.
We want to fit in.
We got to fit in, right? So
something.
Yeah. And that's one reason why, you know, when someone will, I can tell if a woman has done women's work, when I offer a compliment and they're like, oh, this silly thing. Oh, I, you know, I just got this at Target or it was a handmade, whatever it is. Or, oh, they won't brag about their success. In my community, I did a training last night and we did a brag. Everybody had 2 minutes to brag. I brag that I. I mean,
yeah,
I was raised, that was a sin. Like, you don't do that.
Yep. You shut up, you sit down, you let the men take over and they rule the house and run the control and you do exactly what they say.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wasn't raised quite like that, but I was raised that to be proud of myself, not need a man, total opposite, even though my mom has been remarried for 25 years to a beautiful man. And they have a very inverted, healthy relationship, I would say. But she raised me to be very independent because of her bitterness towards my dad. And also because that's what she was doing. You know, that's what she did. So, so the men, I'm on the right track, right? Yeah. The men want us to, they want to feel our aliveness. They want to feel our energy. If we sit down at the dinner table and they've been, you know, basically sitting in front of people that are Zoom Redwood all day, right? The Zoom Redwood here and not with, met with a lot of energy, and they sit down and they're met with her Zoom Redwood, but she's, he just shuts down. So there's a way, you know, there's a way I love to teach women how you could actually be artful in your expression. So you make art out of the mundane. So you can stay married for 50 years and not have to have an affair, or you can stay married and it doesn't feel so humdrum. And I love working with people that have been married 25, 30 years who come to me and looking for some zhuzh, thinking that they need to leave the relationship, assuming that it's not abusive. I'm like, just give me 90 days and then we'll talk about it. But in the meantime, can we work on this part? And I'll drop this in too, because it seems fitting, is why there's so many affairs when a man goes through what we call the midlife crisis. We actually don't call it in our community, we call it the tunnel, because there's something hormonally that's literally happening in the body. The membrane that separates the left and right hemisphere literally starts to dissipate as men get older. The reason why it's thick is because if they're hunting the saber-toothed tiger, they don't need to be worrying about, does Alicia like my shirt? Is this going to look good on camera?
Yeah.
Chomp. So it is a purpose, but that's also why when men get older, they want to, or by the way, we mentioned earlier, maybe there's less, it literally is a known fact that they test, you know, men in their early 20s, less testosterone than the men from 50 years ago. So men are softer and they're more feminine and they're, right? And so, but if we're talking about just the men, we go through menopause, they go through manopause, right? And then they are actually, they want to cuddle and they're like, ooh, what's going on there? And then we criticize them more and da, 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 da. We're not willing to, the reason why they get the sports car, they start going to the gym, they have the affair, is they're seeking energy, just like we are when we pick a fight.
Yep. That makes so much sense.
Isn't that wild?
And it's kind of like coming from being a woman standpoint, a marriage is like, I can imagine, like, my husband, I've been married for a little over a year and a half. Previous marriage is almost 10 years.
Okay.
I can imagine somebody being married for 20 years. And it's like, you have a 20, when you're 20, the high testosterone, everything going on, you know, you're doing your thing. For instance, they're doing their thing. And then all of a sudden it's like, then they want something different.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, women are like, I don't know how to be that person.
Well, I love you. That was a great segue, sister, for what you, because I personally believe there's 10 women that live inside every woman. And so we get to know them and we name them and we play with them and they have their own energy. There's the top, there's really 20, because there's the toxic version too. And men have it as well. But you know, we literally will embody her. Like, there's your inner child, which I call little girl, because it seems so much more intimate, right? There's that champion version of you. There's the dangerous challenger. There's all these versions. And so you're right. We stopped playing dress up a long time ago. And so what I do is I'm like, can we bring some art to this? And it is fascinating to witness. And you know, several of the women, because from the group that where you and I met, they've gone through my program. You witness them being able to hold more space, you know, and hold bigger crowds because they've actually worked the masculine muscle to be able to be able to witness everyone and not get consumed with everybody's energy, right? But still leave with their heart. And that's why, and I brag that most women that do come and work with me, whether it's in the sisterhood or one-on-one, they really, where I'm able to like touch them and such is, and to coach me directly, they're able to up-level their life. They're able to have the courage to leave their career or leave an abusive spouse or, you know, ask for that raise or whatever it is because, but they're doing it with less effort. Because they know how to live in their flow more. And if it ever feels off, like they've got a kink, well, then they know how to go back to evaluate, well, where is that? Because they really are attuned with their body more than they were. And listen, it doesn't mean we never have issues. I mean, this has been one heck of a year, like just a year. As my husband and I went through our dark night of the soul in our relationship, we always believe the last 5% gets healed in partnership. If you're willing to play in that realm. And there's so much that happens in that trigger space, but it's like, how are you going to repair? So, how do we repair relationships, not just in partnership, but even in friendship? I think if we could work better as women and repairing relationships and it's seeing each other, so it's not just women need to work on their feminine, quite frankly. That's why I find women come, like, I need to work on my feminine and get my feminine and all that stuff. I'm like, all right, come on in. Just let it come on in. And then Let me just like evaluate. It generally is the relationship with their own feminine that needs the healing first.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes so much sense.
Yeah, it does. I really felt that when I said that. I say that all the time, but I like something just like overcame me of, yeah. I mean, it is that highly critical bitch in our head that's always telling us that we're not enough. That is not a highly masculine being. They're able to shut that stuff out. Like, yep. I'm a walking, talking big deal. You tell me you don't like my color of my shirt, I'll wear it again tomorrow and every day. The worst thing a man ever could do is that if we ever go, oh, honey, go change that shirt, is go change that shirt. Because women, if we feel dropped, when we realize, even though it feels good in the moment, oh, he loves me. He's doing what I said. If he's always doing what we said, he's not trustable.
Yep.
He's always going to be going, the robber's coming in. And I know I'm exaggerating it, but the brain doesn't know the difference. The robber's coming in. Honey, should I call the cops? Or should I grab the gun? What do you think I should do?
The protection is gone. The protective layer that we, in our feminine, we desire.
Yeah. But the toxic part of us doesn't believe that we either deserve it or that they can do it well enough. And so we're going to test it.
Right.
And test it and test it and test it. If you grew up the way I did, you know, with daddy leaving and then attempting to be in relationships to fill that void, you know, I used to test men a lot and I've healed those parts of me that, you know, God forbid I was ever in another relationship starting over again. You know, I don't need to do that. I know how to go inward and really self-actualize. And, you know, I'll say this too. I mean, I love the brain and I love the nervous system. And I've mentioned that. That's why I always bring in trauma work now, even if there's not a big T trauma, because to look at how do you show up for life? Because I never would have said I grew up in trauma back then when Tony brought this to me. I wouldn't have seen it that way, even though my parents divorced, but everybody's parents divorced, right? Right. But I can understand there's something different because the trauma is the feeling in the body. And we literally, Alicia, will subconsciously, even though we will fight it like hell, but we're subconsciously drawn to our emotional home. So until we can move zip codes, change our emotional home, realize that even though it may feel good to be in drama and trauma, and every 10 years we start your life again because you get a lot done when you do that and find the kink in the problem, then you will always seek that. So then we have to change that. And it's easier, like I said, it's simple, but it's not easy, but that's what I love to do. And that's why women will come and work with me and we'll do a bunch of healing here. And then we up level and then there's other ways and they stay with me for a while because I got invited to 3 weddings of past clients last week and we had 2 babies I don't
part of
know
the family now.
It's so exactly. It's like, there's my family. It's really incredible. And I just think everything's relationship. And that would frustrate my husband as we were in business together, because he's like high corporate chase, 28 years. And I would rather have the quality than the quantity, mm-hmm. because that's, you know, I've worked hard. I've sold businesses. I have financial security. I get to build my business the way I want to. That's great that he feels that way, but it's like sacred. She is me. For me to have, you know, yeah. I mean, basically the vagina to say, hey, babe, I believe what's best for the moment is this. This is what's best for, and what's best for Sandy is best for the world. Just like what's best for Alicia is best for the world. Because it's who we're being in the moment when we state our need that determines that. If we're coming from a place of scarcity, yep. then is it better for the world if you live there? You know, your world, the lens you see it through, right? Do you get what I'm going with that?
Yeah.
So that's why it's so important to, again, watch and pay attention to who we're around, because we generally will, unfortunately, fall to the lowest frequency. And that's why COVID was so interesting for people being essentially trapped in their homes, and not necessarily here in Florida, but I mean, everywhere else in the world. But there are
right.
really got, I mean, talk about a relationship being a mirror. So yeah, that was a lot, but that was a lot.
Yeah. And that incredible. Was a lot of great information for sure on that. Yeah. And it's something you mentioned too. It's like, we want to kind of let it flow. And the more we let ourselves flow, even like when I let myself flow with my business and like tune out whatever my husband's saying, he's got great information. I listen to it, but I know in my intuition, know what's right, where I need to go. So much more respect is given to me.
Yeah.
If I just go back and not, and just like, and then try to put the masculine on. And then I'm like, but the feminine and masculine's fighting with each other. Cause I'm like, I know I need to do it this way. Yeah. With the what ifs, and I need to, the pleasing comes out.
Well, yeah. And she's actually one of the archetypes too, that I take, the blissful pleaser. She's there, but we need her because she's the mother Gaia. She's the sweet mother, but she's also the codependent if we haven't healed that also. And let me just back up to that. If your husband, like my husband mentioning that, there's also a way. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, we all want to be led the way we want to be led. That's like a saying in sacred she, like, I want to be led the way I want to be led, which completely negates the whole fact about being led, but it's kind of funny. But there's a way, and I'm pointing over here because this office is over there. There's a way that we can, the feminine is more expressive, that we can express, not just, honey, thank you for that information. That's really great information. That's stage two. Stage three way of saying that would be, you know, babe, what a great idea. Wow. I haven't thought about that. You know, I'm going to like noodle on that. And are you okay if I ask you some more questions if they come up? Okay, great. I love it when you bring any ideas like that. You always make me go deeper in my thinking. You're still thinking like, hell no. I mean, that was great and all. What a good idea. But I'm not. But you said we honored him, right? We honored him in that space, because so many women like, I'm not, especially if they haven't had their tank full or tapped. Like, oh, that's a stupid idea. Why you all, you know, we've all been there.
Yep.
like yesterday. I mean, maybe like, even this morning.
Like every other day. You
know? Yeah. Maybe it's this morning, every day that ends in Y. I'm not sure, but you know, we're human. But I can tell you, when I get cranky like that, I can pretty much bet that I haven't nourished myself in self-care. And the way I view self-care is you have to feel good when you even think about it. Like, I love my cold plunge, but I don't consider that self-care, although more people would, because when I think about it, my whole body gets tight. Like, if I squeeze, but I feel good when I get out, of course, but I don't consider it self-care. Because to me, self-care is honestly getting on this podcast with you. Like, I know I already am excited about it before I even like enter into it. So like, I know teaching is that for me.
Bring joy and fun into yourself, your life.
Yeah. It is whatever's bringing, we're just thinking about it, lights you up. So that changes self-care. And like, that's the way I like to teach it, because I know for me, I was doing all the things. I mean, I don't really love taking a bath. I like it when somebody draws it for me and then washes out the tub and everything after me. But just to me, it's sort of like cookie Thanksgiving dinner. We spent all
the chore
and it's done. You know, for me, I don't find joy in that. I'd rather I'm fine catering it, adding some fluff to it and having deep conversations, but that's just me. Now I have shifted that. And I now, you know, cause I make it a practice that with every time I'm making dinner for my family, I'm infusing it with love. I'm bringing the feminine with love. I teach a woman who's folding clothes for four kids, like to almost like set intentions or pray over you're folding up pants. You know, how can you actually, like, every garment is a token of her devotion to her family. She's still folding the damn clothes. But when you flip it like that and you see the devotion, the art in it, it changes it. It changes everything. So I just teach women to really start viewing life through different lenses.
Yeah, definitely putting attention behind something makes it more joyful.
100, yes.
When you bring the meaning to why you're doing it, you know, well, I'm folding the clothes because it's going to make my family happy and it's going to bring the peace in the house, and I have clothes everywhere and I'm not going to be like chaotic. I can't function. That's intention. Yeah.
Well, and the intention also, like the extra layer, like I mentioned, is that, you know, I remember, you know, just like, I'm just a housewife. How many every time you've heard that, like, no, babe. Like, I know for me, when I was building my first business, I was nannying in Atlanta. And I remember I was like, oh, somebody said, what do you do? You know, I'm like, oh, I'm just a nanny. And that my mentor is like, no, you're not. You have the amazing privilege of taking care of these two children while their parents are at work. And you were trusted, such high favor, to guide and lead them for the 9 hours their parents are gone. Yeah. That's hardly just to anything.
Yeah.
Boom. Yeah.
We give ourselves credit for the things that we do.
Yeah.
We're just, like you said, just to something, just to that, instead of taking pride into, like, I mean, we're down given this, like, these opportunities, taking pride in the opportunities is what I'm getting at, instead of just dismissing them as, well, it's not a big deal. And I feel like that's almost our training of society, is we're not supposed to make a big deal out of anything.
But really, that's the feminine wound. that's the feminine wound of being able to receive it, because it's almost expected that we're going to be downtrodden versus, like I just said, the brag. I mean, you used to see when women first start working, like, you want me to brag? Like, what? Like, that's hard. Especially, and so we're breaking through, we're healing generational stuff and celebrating the stuff that's good. Yeah. You know, it's not just, you know, healing doesn't have to be arduous and so hard. I mean, trust me, there's definitely tears and snot bubbles and all that. And when we're working together too, but there's also a lot of laughter and a lot of art. Cause if it's not fun and I'm not able to dig in deeper, then I probably don't want to do it.
Yeah. It's probably not the right mode. That's what I'm coming. The hardest part to me, healing, is the very beginning of it. And after you start and you see the results, it gets exciting. I personally get excited every time. I'm like, oh, there's another breakthrough coming. I get to be like a whole new person. Like, this is all, like, I get excited about it, and it doesn't scare me and make me fearful like it used to. You know, 2 years ago, I've been like, no, I can't handle that anymore. No more. And I'm like, bring it on.
It's interesting because I've witnessed you when I joined the group in April last year. I've witnessed your evolution because for whatever reason, you've been on my radar, and I've watched you evolve, not just because of the success of your business, because that's the doing. I'm talking about more of being in the thing. Like, I witnessed you living. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I wanted to I wanted to honor you as I witnessed you to be a woman who is of deep integrity and also really hungry to live in her desire. And I want to say I honor you for showing up the way you show up.
Yeah, I have to. I have no choice. I have to.
I know you do, but I'm gonna actually. Can I coach you for a second?
Yeah,
that was so perfect. When you go back and watch, I said, please don't edit this out. Okay. Like, guys, don't let her edit it out. Like, seriously.
It's staying.
So that part of you, like, I felt your heart ping, ping, like she's tickling my heart. And then you started to say thank you. And then you stopped. And then, and you share, I've got to. And what I would want you to do, the feminine, is actually you lean back and go, oh, I feel it, and speak on the exhale and say, I receive that.
Yeah.
So take two. I normally have my take two sign because the brain doesn't know the difference. So I'll just ask you that again. I'll say, you know, Alicia, I've witnessed you, even though we haven't spent really any time together until today, but just I've observed you and I've noticed how I judge you to be a woman who actually feels more comfortable in her being. She's bringing in more of everything that really means the most. And I honor that in you. I think that the world's better because you're living that way. And I think it's beautiful.
I've received that. I do. Yeah. I feel it.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Big difference. That's probably like the best hack too, is just speaking on the exhale will automatically put us back in our body. Mm-hmm. And I really did mean that. You know that. You felt that.
Yes, I think you.
Wasn't that fascinating though, to feel the difference?
Yeah. It's definitely a difference there.
Yeah. We have a great quiz that we came up with a few years ago for anybody who's new to this work, sandysimbler.com/quiz, which, you know, in a few minutes you can start doing some, you feel it, the mass of them, and you'll get your answers back.
Be in the show notes, by the way.
Definitely. For sure. It's always great to just kind of mention it because it is an inquiry, because I wouldn't have known. I mean, when I raised my hand, when Tony's like, you know, why are you here? I didn't even know it. I have a deep disrespect for men because I have daddy issues. You know, it was more of like, my son would say, my picker's off, like my picker's off. You know, I only attract emotionally unavailable men, you know, like poor Sandy, right? Poor victim Sandy, forgetting that I have something to do with the way I'm picking them. That's why Tony was like, I white on rice. It was perfect. It was exactly what I wouldn't change anything about it. Cause I needed that strong masculine. I love you too much to allow you to go on like that. Cause my daddy, you know, God bless him, he was a very big hearted passive man. And I didn't get a lot of guidance and leadership. I got a lot of whatever makes you happy, Sandy. Mm. Whatever's going to make you happy. I just want you to be happy. Happy is so fleeting. And I know that he meant that. But what I needed was for him to look me in the eyes before I walked down the aisle that one time when he said that to me and go, hey, you don't have to do this. We can get in that car. We can drive away. Makes me want to cry. That's what Rachel was to me.
I want to cry for you because yeah. I feel that.
Yeah. I mean, but how many times have we not done that to ourselves? We don't need a daddy. We can husband ourselves and daddy ourselves. And how many years do we spend, just like me, pissed off at my dad or my mom for not being the mom or the dad? And we're all doing all we know how to do. We're just a bunch of freaking programs in a meat suit.
Right. And you have to start taking the blame off of people and put it back on yourself and start healing that portion of yourself.
Totally.
That was the biggest thing for my healing, was taking everybody. I was such a victim to everything. And I'm like, there's no excuse anymore for it. I'm a grown ass woman. Yeah. I can make my own decisions and there's no reason for me to put the blame on anyone else. Now, do I go back down and be like, hey, this is probably the reason why I act the way and do the things I do? Yes. But I have no excuses for staying in that spot anymore. You have to keep moving forward.
100%.
You have to heal that portion of you. And if you don't, you're still you're still in the victim, and you're only making yourself a victim. Nobody else sees you as a victim.
And sometimes we need that. I call it sacred rage. We need that little bit of anger, that push, because, you know, it's like the can I cuss? Can I cuss?
Oh, absolutely.
It's like the fuck cancer campaign. I mean, if we coddle the cancer and we love the cancer and, oh, you poor thing. And, you know, it just, people get significance in love and connection through their illness. That's where a hypochondriac is born a lot of times. Right. Yep. Versus like, fuck you, cancer, get out of my life. You know, Satan, get behind me. Like, oh, not on my watch. You know, we need a little bit of that in our life. And I mean, in my darkest moments, when I'm feeling, you know, that depressive state, it generally is because that I am attempting to control the past.
Yep.
And if I'm feeling anxious, it's because I'm doing something I'm going to control the future, versus living in this sweet spot right here, allowing myself just to appreciate it. And hell, it's easier said than done. I mean, I've, I believe I'm an advanced practitioner, and I've got some things going on. I've got some, and you always will, because that's
our human experience.
Yes. So many of us though would rather not go there. They'd rather, you know, and that's fine too. Those aren't my people that will be drawn to me. I mean, I do have people that sometimes may leave my program. It doesn't happen a lot, but they may leave because they don't want to see it, but they come back. They'll come back. Yeah. I mean, and you know, I've actually had women who are actually divorced from their partner and go back and be able to make amends with their partner, do sacred respect in the way I teach it. And then they're actually like, they've gotten remarried. But there's so many neat things that have happened. And there's also some that have been in an abusive relationship and they needed to leave. And I'm never the person to say you should leave, but to empower her so much that she's able to feel in her body the duality of what it feels like to actually be honored and respected. And we just turn the channel, just a couple channels this way, 2 millimeter shift. And sometimes that's all it takes.
It's a little empowerment.
And being a witness. I mean, for a woman wants to be witness, and I can't tell you, I mean, that's where I love, you know, my groups for this too, or even a one-on-one client, they know on Voxer, I just need to be witnessed, but I have to train them for that. And then they will show me, and they have to show me video, and they will show me their tears, or they'll do a temper tantrum practice or something that I give them. And that allows them, their body to go, even if I'm not live witnessing it, their brain's going, okay, I didn't die. They're witnessing me in my mess. Okay, that's good. Okay, check. Right. And then the feminine that wants to be seen. How many of us have been in a relationship, even if it's our parents, that we are like heartbroken or in so much pain? And they're like, suck it up, soldier. Even if they don't say it, the energy is like as if our feelings aren't valid. And that'll crush a little girl. It'll even crush a little boy. So yeah, that's all I've got to say about that.
That is awesome. Well, I have enjoyed so much speaking with you today. All your information is going to be in the show notes.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I'm excited to be here and expanding our reach. I have a big audacious goal to touch 12 million lives with Sacred She over the next 5 years, and, you know, directly and indirectly, whether it be through podcasts, or I'm working with a mom who has children, or her partner who speaks on stage, whatever it is. I believe this is such it is so needed in the world. And I think it starts with our own home, like our own vessel, our own home. So thank you for allowing me the privilege to speak to you, and what a great time to leave us at 11:11.
Oh yeah. Wow. That was a great time. Awesome. So well, thanks again.
Thank you, love. Thank you.